man. We're here today to talk about DVDs.
Me like DVD.
You want to watch a DVD, little man?
Me watch.
Hey there, listeners of the DVD Marquee. This is Shane and...
Jeff Reynolds.
And we're here to talk DVDs once again. We've got a pretty good lineup this week. We've got some stuff from Sony Pictures, some stuff from Fox, and a little something from Paramount Pictures. So instead of us wasting a whole bunch of time, our first movie is going to be the Wayans Brothers' latest flick on DVD, Little Man.
People call here all kind of time. Like, people don't live here, man. You can't be calling nobody house. B-Unit Productions, in association with Go Get a Girl Entertainment.
Hey, yo, Percy, it's me.
Cal, what's going on?
I need you to come pick me up. Now look, got the
aha! Race for the sky. Who you talking to, sonny boy?
Go-go-go-ga-ga-ga-ga-la-la-la.
Oh, don't give me that old goo-goo-ga-ga-ga-ga crap. Hand me that damn phone.
And we could even call it an adventure. Quite a journey for them, actually.
Yeah, I suppose we could. And this is the loaded with extra crap edition. We should make sure if we specify that.
That's actually what it says on the case, folks.
Yeah, right on the top. Packed with unrated deleted scenes and more. Well, the deleted scenes. Yeah.
Well, since we're on the topic, there's only thing I want to say is there's only one deleted scene that I found remotely humorous, and that was the Where Do Babies Come From? So if you're going to pick this up, you know, it's just a little unexpected. That's, I guess you could say.
That was pretty good. Yeah, I found that funny. And that was delivered very, very well by Brittany Daniels.
Oh, smoking.
Without a doubt. And probably one of the most interesting features on this DVD is where they talk about having to make her bustier because she's not exactly well endowed.
Well, she is, just wasn't enough for
this part.
Keenan Ivory Wayne's original conception.
We'll put it that way. Now, I got to give this movie full credit for the way they pulled it off.
You know what? When I saw the previews, I thought, okay, this is interesting. How did they do it? And I think that was probably one of the only things that really drew me to the movie was how did they do it? More so than wanting to see what they did.
Exactly. So we got to give a big shout out to Lyndon Porco, who's the child who played the part of the little man, and then they just digitally put on the Wayans brother's head.
Yeah, he was the actual, all the physical movement of the body that you see in the movie is this young child.
Nine-year-old. Yes, 9-year-old child. He's got some sort of very rare disease. I don't recall the name of it, but basically he's growing proportionally, just staying small.
Exactly. It's phenomenal. They actually have an extra feature in there that shows you his life, talks about his life as...
Yeah, and he's from Winnipeg.
He's from Winnipeg. Kudos to the Canadians.
Woo-woo! But he's a very athletic child. And you can pick it out in the movie when he's running, especially.
Yeah. He really does look like he's a full-grown person, just... not.
Yeah. But overall, this movie is kind of...
Yeah, it definitely doesn't rate on my must-see list. You should see it to see how well they
blended it.
Yeah, to see how well they blend the head of one person with the body of another. I was actually quite surprised at how...
Yeah, and they even had a special feature on how they pulled that all off, which is great. Probably the best moment in this movie for me had to be with the mobile when the little man's in bed.
Really?
Yeah, and because I have kids, right? So that mobile thing has never worked to put any of our kids to sleep. And he's like, that stupid thing ain't gonna put nobody to sleep. And then he can barely keep his eyes open. It's brilliant.
I don't have kids, so I can't relate. But I can see where, with that new image in my head, I guess, and that new perspective, it is a little bit more humorous.
And of course, being a guy... crotch shots. They work every time.
Yeah, the ladies are probably tired of it, and they probably will get tired of it after the first one, because there are several, or more.
Yeah, but as men, we could watch crotch shots over and over and over for hours. Put that particular scene in loop, and we'll laugh every time, because it's not us getting hit.
Exactly. For me, actually, one of my favorite moments was the guest appearance underneath the dinosaur suit. I'm not going to say who it is, because it's a nice little cameo.
Yes.
And it wasn't expected, and very short, but...
Well, we can give a little hint. It's an SNL alum.
As most of the cast is. Or I shouldn't say most of the cast, sorry. It's a combination of SNL alumni and In Living Color alumni, which is something else I really liked in this, is I like to see those In Living Color members back together again.
Just missing a little Jim Carrey action and a little Jamie Foxx, and I think they would have pretty much almost had everybody back.
Exactly. Yeah. They
I know I'm forgetting some people.
They do mention Jim Carrey and Jamie Foxx in the extra features, though, which I thought was kind of interesting. Because even David Alan Grier makes an appearance. So pretty much the entire core group from In Living Color is present in this DVD in some way.
True enough. True enough. Yeah. Now, did you listen to the commentary?
I didn't get a chance to, no.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because neither did I.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's probably funnier than the movie.
I would imagine so, especially considering... All three of the Wayans brothers are doing it.
There's no doubt about it. They are a funny bunch, and they did come up with a pretty cool concept. It's just not as funny as you'd hope it to be.
Yeah, the jokes weren't executed as well as they could have been, I think. It still has like a mild humor throughout it that you're able to enjoy, but you don't get to laugh as much as you think you might.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it for this DVD. Audio and video-wise, it's exactly what you'd expect for a movie for today. Even the audio comedy is mostly front-end heavy, but when the rears are needed, they come in. When the subwoofer's needed, it comes in.
Yeah, subtle.
Subtle.
Not overly done.
So overall, for me, I would recommend this as a rental.
I would recommend it as a rental, too. If you're a big fan of the Wayans brothers in Living Color and stuff, and you'd like to find out more about how they work... they do go into a lot of really interesting details in some of the extra features. And that's about it.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. Rental.
Rental.
Rental. All right, moving on. Now, we're not going to go into a great deal on this movie because it was covered in the last podcast by Jeffrey and Stan, who did a phenomenal job.
They did do a great job. We're just going to rehash it because everyone has their own opinions. And considering this particular film was probably the biggest... blockbuster of the year so far, up to date. We're going to cover it, so...
Think about Lindsay. She was brand new. She was sweet. Do you remember when you were sweet? Can you remember that far back?
Barely.
Hey, Germany, ask me what it is I see in Julia. What I see in Julia is life before all this. And it's good.
Yeah, we're talking Mission Impossible 3.
MI3.
MI3.
Back to the mission.
It's the two-disc collector's edition we got. Now, I know you went through all the extras. I didn't have time because it just came in a couple of days before we sat down to record this. But the movie itself, let's talk
on the movie here.
Now, I found what J.J. Abrams brought to this film a lot different than the previous two.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it was a very different kind of atmosphere.
It was almost like watching an extended television series. Like, he brought that television flair that he got from Alias, from Lost, and put it into this movie, which I think is a great throwback to the original television series.
Which was his intention.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wanted to make it look more like the original television series, and I think it worked. And I enjoyed this movie. I would probably not say it's the best in the series.
I definitely say it's not the best. And I'll get into why.
Yeah. I think it's better than the first movie, but it's probably tied with the second movie.
See, for myself, I think it's better than the first movie, but I don't think it's better than the second movie. And I think that's probably because when I'm thinking Mission Impossible and I'm looking for the action genre, I like a graceful, energetic, in-your-face... Especially with something that's titled Mission Impossible.
You can't touch John Woo, though. John Woo is an action director.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams is a storyteller who can blend action in. And I think that's where this movie is so good because there's more story that goes, it blends well with the action that's in the film.
It does.
And there's some pretty crazy stuff that they do in this movie.
Oh, some? Some pretty crazy? Well, I mean, just looking at the stunts and knowing that Tom Cruise is doing them all.
Yes.
It's insane. Considering the guy's probably, you know, it probably costs twice as much to insure him as it does to make the movie.
Now, did he make that jump across the building? You went through all the extras. Did he actually do that, or was that digital?
Well, while he's swinging, in the close-ups, while he's swinging from building to building, that is all done on green screen.
Okay.
But the initial jump where he's actually running and he jumps off the roof, it is a green screen shot, but he does. He flies a good, you know, 40 feet off of a building down 60 feet. On a wire.
That's nuts.
It is crazy. And you get to see it in the extra features. It's really cool because he goes running and he dives into this just big green vastness. And he talks about how what he was thinking about beforehand was that he just wants to make sure that he gets far enough that it's clear that he is clearing a building. And he needs to get momentum to go from one building, the far side of one building, to another building that's probably a good 200 feet away.
But now we know what his training is for these roles. It's couch jumping.
Actually, in one of the special features about the promotion tour, he actually looks, I think it's to Lawrence Fishburne. They're sitting in a limo, and they're about to get out of a limo, and there's big crowds waiting. And he looks over to Lawrence Fishburne, and he says something along the lines of, "You can jump on my couch anytime." I almost pissed myself.
That's awesome. I really wish I would have had time to get through the extras on this, but then again, we decided because it was covered so well in the previous podcast that we were going to focus more on the movie.
Yeah. Now, I didn't get to talk about why, all the reasons why I didn't like it as much. One of them being that this technique of camera work is becoming a little too prevalent in Hollywood for my liking, and that's the camera work that was used in The Bourne Identity and Supremacy, specifically Supremacy, and that's really, really heavy on the handheld cam effect. Shaky. It drives me nuts. You know, especially with an action movie like this, I don't want to be sitting there going, "Oh, here comes the headache," and now it's gone. "Oh, here comes the headache," and now it's gone. I find that it really...
But see, that's different for every person, so that's a personal dilemma that you have. You don't like that, but I like that in this movie.
I don't know.
I think that's what helps it work on a different level.
I don't know. It's almost like you get to the action scenes and you can expect it to be all shaky, and I don't get to see everything as clearly as I'd like to, and then it's nice and still for all of the storyline.
Now, it's unfortunate, though, that being the age I am, I never got to see MI on television.
Same here.
So I can't even compare it to the original television series, and the original television series season 1, I believe, is coming out in December from Paramount. It's going to be really interesting to check that out and compare and see how well J.J. Abrams blended everything.
That is something I'm interested to see, too. And I mean, I'm not knocking the guy for trying to, you know, to try and reinstill that group aspect that was an element, and that agency aspect that was in the television show.
That's right. We get to see more of the agency in this movie, too, than any of the previous ones.
Yeah. And I don't mind that at all. It's just, well, you know what? To look at it in a positive perspective, with what happened between Paramount and Cruise Wagner Productions, this movie and the storyline that they created really sets up nicely, given the fact that Paramount and Tom Cruise probably won't work together anymore. They, you know, the fact that the story really kind of creates the fact that Ethan wants out,
mm-hmm.
you know, helps to create a scenario where if MI4 happens, they can bring somebody else in as another IMF agent.
Yeah, a fresh face.
Yeah. Rumored to be Brad Pitt, which... Hey, I'm all for it. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. Good in action. I liked him in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. I'd like to see him do something a little bit more over the top, like Mission Impossible. But, hey.
Now, there's actually two other actors I got to mention. Three. Because I keep forgetting.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He delivers his lines so harshly every time he speaks them.
Absolutely, man. This guy was pure...
Villainous.
Villain.
Yeah.
It was great. I wanted to see more. Every other action film out there probably has about 2 or 3 times more coverage on the villain. And that's another thing that really kind of worked on me.
Yeah, but I found it worked because when he was on screen, you were like, man, this guy is bad. He's B.A. We'll use a Dane Cook quote. He's B.A. because we don't really cuss on this show.
Yeah, but I wanted to see more. So that was totally unintentional, folks.
No pun intended.
But, no, but seriously, I wanted to know more about why he was that way, as opposed to just knowing he was that way.
Ving Rhames. I love Ving Rhames, but he never gets enough time on screen for me.
Never gets enough exposure.
On all three movies, he's the key to anchor this team. It's not Ethan Hunt.
Although in this movie, they really did give... There's a couple of scenes where they really give him and Ethan Hunt, or Tom Cruise, a real backstory.
Yes.
A friendship through talking about the potential marriage of Ethan Hunt's character and all that, and how he feels and how it relates to his job and their job and
all that jazz. Yeah,
it really helps to create a much larger backstory than you would have thought from the other first two movies.
Now, I know ladies were very upset that there wasn't enough Jonathan Rhys Meyers in this. He was good in this. He's a good actor. Good.
Very subtle.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Yeah. And I've seen him in a couple of movies now this year. I saw him in Woody Allen's movies, Match Point, which I thought was ho-hum, but he was great in it. I can't knock his performance. And Bend It Like Beckham is another movie I saw him in, and then I saw him on the TV Elvis movie where he played Elvis.
I haven't been exposed to him that much then, because I haven't seen any of those.
I think he's a great actor, and we can look forward to seeing a lot more of him.
This does show that he can play strength in solitude.
Yes.
Or in quietude, if that's even a word.
Yeah. Well, let's pretty much, we'll wrap this up because we don't want to spend a lot more time on it. I think we've already spent too much, personally.
Definitely going to be a stocking stuffer.
I'd buy it.
If you're not going to buy it yourself, you're definitely going to want to ask for it as a gift.
Do get this movie. It's a must-see.
Absolutely.
And that's from Paramount.
Hey, Starla. You remember that time we were kids and you came knocking on my window in the middle of the night? So Starla here, 12. I guess I was 14. I said, Starla, what the hell are you doing out there? She says that she's going to run away to Hollywood and be a big star. And she knew I was in the ROTC. So she says she needs a bodyguard and invites me to come along. And I said, Starla, if there's anyone who could take care of herself, I think it's you. I'm going to have to decline.
How far did you get?
At the bus stop. This is Ranger Rick here called my dad.
Damn, a cop from the get-go. You so bitch.
Fucked up our fame and fortune there, Bill Party.
All right, Jeff. Are you ready to talk about one of the funnest movies I've seen this year? By far, has to be the most fun I've had watching a movie.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the most fun I've had, but I definitely say it was fun.
We're going to talk Slither.
Slither. A great modern throwback to the 80s classics.
Fantastic. James Gunn talks about that everywhere, that he wanted to go back to the 80s and basically recreate a new modern.
If you liked movies like Critters, if you liked movies like Critters, Species,
Aliens,
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like we're talking the cream of the crop here.
We can keep going and going. The Thing, and just he names, I think it's probably close to 15 movies, and then when he goes into the commentary, which I unfortunately only had a chance to sample because everything kind of came in last minute. We dropped all the titles we were going to cover these. He mentions some of the ones that he didn't mention in the other extra features, which I thought was really good. And in the commentary is James Gunn and Nathan Fillion, who I just absolutely fantastic actor.
He's a great actor. And for those of you who don't recognize the name, if you're Buffy fans, he was the one's handyman.
The priest.
The priest, the evil priest. And he was also the captain of Firefly. And
Captain Malcolm Reynolds.
That's right.
Serenity.
I can't believe I didn't remember that name.
Yeah, jeez. Jeff Reynolds, Malcolm Reynolds. What are you thinking, man? And that's the whole reason he got cast in Buffy, because Firefly got canceled, so Joss moved him into another series he was working on. But his character really isn't all that far off. His sheriff character from this isn't that far off from Captain Mal Reynolds.
Not by any means, actually. He was really close, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Especially in the moment where he sees the mutated creature for the first time
yes.
through the fence, and he has two words, three syllables, and he takes his... time. And it's just such a great delivery.
He does. He has a fantastic delivery. And it's kind of almost like a lost innocent delivery on everything.
Yeah.
And he's so phenomenal at delivering it. And I think that's what's going to help propel him to the next level.
Yeah. He can do comedy. He has that comedic realism, serious sense about him that can be thrown into any genre.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's gone from sci-fi to, well, sci-fi horror.
Yeah.
Great. And there's some other great actors in this movie. Michael Rooker, who basically becomes the mutated beast. Fantastic in this movie. It's something that I've never seen him do before.
Okay, here's a question, because I recognized him, like, instantly as a really familiar face, but I can't remember from where.
And how about we start with Cliffhanger?
Okay, there you go.
Done. And Greg Henry. He stole every single scene he was in. He was the mayor. He stole every single scene he was in until the last scene with him and Nathan Fillion.
And Nathan took it.
And Nathan, he just wipes the slate clean.
Yeah, definitely does play a good power-hungry...
yeah, it's hard to come up to describe him.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, he's an angry marrier. Angry, very angry. And that's not the first time the two of them have worked together, and they even touched on that in one of the extra features, on how the first day on set they brought him out, and Nathan didn't know he was going to be working with him, and then there he is all in costume and gory. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It looks like they had a great time filming this movie.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a lot to do with Nathan Fillion, too, because there is a special feature.
Who's
Bill Pardee?
I'm Bill Pardee.
Yeah, it just goes... I guess this was a running joke on the set. They go through clips of, probably 50 or 60 different times where Nathan Fillion just...
He botches
a line, or he's, just in any type of situation, and he looks at the camera, whether it's behind-the-scenes camera or the actual recording camera, and he just looks at it and goes, I am Bill Pardee.
And it's hilarious every single time. It was great.
Yeah, it looks like the cast had fun with that.
It really, really did look like they had a fantastic time filming this movie. And somebody who I'd recognized, and I actually had to look up and see who it was Elizabeth Banks. I knew I'd seen her in something, and recently too, and I could not place her, and it was bothering me, so I looked it up on the IMDb, and she's been in both Spider-Mans. She's the secretary at the Daily Bugle, who Peter always talks to, so she has a bit part in Spider-Man, but it was enough that she was memorable to me, and I couldn't figure out where I'd seen her from. She's fantastic in this movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
The saddest part for me was that they cut Lloyd Kaufman out of this movie.
Yeah, one line apparently that he decided to extend it to.
Yeah, he was going off the script. He pre-planned it.
But since he was such a good confidant, I guess, with the
James Gunn, yeah.
That he figured James wouldn't have a problem with it. And from the sounds of it, he didn't, but unfortunately they cut him.
Yeah, which is too bad.
And they don't even have it in the deleted scenes.
No, I was expecting to see it, and it was not there. For those of you who don't know, a couple of years ago at the Canadian DVD Awards...
Toot your own horn, Shane.
I actually was at the same table as Lloyd Kaufman. I got a signed DVD from him. I'm not going to repeat what it says. It's pretty good, we'll put it that way. But he's a great guy. He really loves film.
For those of you who don't know, he was the original director for...
The Toxic Avenger.
The Toxic Avenger, that's it.
Yeah. Yes, he's the creator of the Toxic Avenger. He's the president of Troma Entertainment.
Yeah, a lot of interesting history in this film, folks.
Very much so. Let's talk the look and sound of the film.
The look was really good. I really enjoyed it. Very dark for the most part, but still very crisp. Very very driven towards storytelling.
Yes.
And I appreciated that, because you don't often get a darkness that is somehow reflective of storytelling. It's always just, okay, we know this is taking place in the dark because it has to be scary. You know? As for the sound, I mean, I didn't notice anything too extraneous as far as surround, so...
I was a little disappointed in the sound.
Yeah.
A little bit. I found that the dialogue track was very quiet. I had to turn it up louder than I normally play a movie.
You know what? Now that I think of it, I did have the volume higher too. But in reflection, I usually, you know, have to turn it down when the sound, the music and stuff comes on.
It was a well-balanced audio track. Like, nothing really went too high or too low. I just found that to hear it, I had to turn it up more.
Yeah.
But it still, it had great directional sound. The subwoofer kicked in at exactly the right moments and shook the room a couple of times.
Yeah, I could have used a little attention to the sound, I think.
Yeah, a little more detail. Yeah. And probably the weirdest thing is, we got this, being in Canada from Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, it's released by Universal in the U.S.
That's weird.
So all the extra features on this say property of Universal. One thing I did like, the step-by-step visual effects. I thought it was going to be a little bit more, but I like that they showed the scene with either the rubber statue or the puppetry and then slowly progressed it to the final product.
Yeah, usually in four stages, I think, right?
Yeah, 4 to 6 was the most common.
Oh, okay.
There was a couple that went 6.
Yeah, it was the first one I watched, so I can't remember the specific details, but it was really neat to see the different layers in their different stages and then it all combined at the end, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of great extra features on this single disc edition. I was surprised at how much they packed on here.
I was surprised as well. You get to see a lot, especially with regards to special effects.
Yes.
The physical aspects, the physical properties of the special effects, makeup, costume, and all that kind of stuff.
And how they built some of the stuff.
And how they built all that stuff. But that just goes... I think they were trying to reinforce just how focused James Gunn was on making it an 80s type of classic.
Probably the coolest thing, too, is when they're going through some of these extras, they're talking about how much stuff they use for this, how much they use for that, and they use so much of the second skin that they use on the tentacles and all that jazz that they actually depleted the national store.
The national supply was gone.
Yeah, there was none left.
None.
It took a month to manufacture more. And that just gives you an idea of how much work they put into this. Being Halloween, perfect time for the make your own blood feature.
Yes, without a doubt. Especially stuff that you can drink.
Yes, and then spit out on people.
Yeah.
Great for parties. Great for parties.
Or an unexpected incident in class, maybe.
Yeah.
For you university folks, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I am going to say, though, unless you're squeamish, this is an absolute buy.
Even if you're squeamish, this one isn't that bad.
Well,
it has moments.
People don't like slithery things, though. How's that?
Yeah,
people,
that's true.
If you don't like slithery things, the movie is titled Slither, so it should be a hint there. Stay away.
Stay away, but...
But this is a must-buy.
You know what? Given Halloween, take a chance.
Yes.
If you don't watch horror flicks, now is the one time of year to do it.
And let me just... I want to say the quote from Movies Online on the cover here. It says, alternately hilarious, creepy, gross, and above all, fun. And that is exactly how I feel about this.
It sums it up.
It really does.
You can't get it more concise and more absolute than what they just said.
Last but not least.
Hey, Shane, what do you say we take a trip back in time, huh?
Maybe.
Let's go back to the prehistoric days.
Not bad, Sid, not bad. We're going to look at Ice Age The Meltdown, which we're adding this on to the end of our existing show because we got this, well, it came in on Tuesday, and we're recording this a little bit on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Well, shave me down and call me a mole rat. You found another mammoth.
Where? Wait a minute, I thought mammoths were extinct.
What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. Maybe because you're a mammoth?
Me? Don't be ridiculous. I'm not a mammoth. I'm a possum.
Right. Good one. I'm a newt. This is my friend the badger. And my other friend the platypus.
Why do I gotta be the platypus? Make him the platypus.
And we wanted to do this to give you guys about a month.
Think about it.
Yeah, because it comes out in a month from now.
You can save your pennies.
And you might want to do it, because even though this movie, I personally found, followed the exact same structure, almost the exact same structure as the first movie, it works. And I actually thought it was better than the first movie.
It was close. It was really close for me. It didn't beat the first movie because of the lack of originality as far as the structure goes. But it was still funny. I couldn't believe that given the same, 90% of it is the same structure, I still found myself laughing out loud, moment after moment after moment, which was great because you don't often get that with a cartoon sequel.
No, not very often. Yeah. Not very often. Toy Story 2 is the only one I can think of.
Yeah, even then, I didn't find myself laughing as much as the first one.
I thought it actually surpassed the first one by leaps and bounds, but... Yeah. But there's some great new additions to the cast this time around. I love the possums.
The possums are great.
There's three possums in this movie.
Well, to start off with.
We'll leave it as that if you haven't seen the movie. But basically the running storyline is that Manny is the last woolly mammoth.
Well, that's part of it.
That's, yeah. There's two main stories here. One is that all the ice is melting and they're going to have a flood.
And they're all stuck in like a valley, which is a big bowl that they're all going to drown in.
Yeah, a big bowl of ice.
So they gotta go and to the other end of the valley, apparently, to this big boat.
To Noah's Ark.
Okay, yeah. I have to mention something about this. As soon as they mentioned there was going to be a boat at the far end of the valley, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be, it's going to be some snake found it, so it's going to be Boa's Bark or something. I swear they were going to play some kind of letter game with Noah's Ark, but they didn't.
They didn't.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a disappointment.
Especially when you're expecting something along those lines.
Exactly.
But the story does work, and it works well.
I really, really enjoyed it. And, I mean, I can't go much further than that, because... it really is an unexpected enjoyment.
That's right. And Scrat. Scrat is three times funnier in this movie.
And he has probably more screen time as well.
Much more screen time, yeah. Almost double, I would guess. I wasn't able to whip out the original and compare it, but probably one of the best moments in this film, the piranhas.
Without a doubt. Ninja Squirrel protecting his nut.
The awesome thing about the extra features, I want to dive into that really quickly, is they actually have an extra feature breaking down the sounds they used, and they've got like five different categories. They've got...
Okay, now before you get into that, I don't think they used all those sounds. I think it was just it's called the Smackdown, the Piranha Smackdown or something. Mm-hmm. I just think they had fun with it. I don't think they were layered one over the other.
I think they did layer some of them in there.
Maybe, but I don't think it was all five of those tracks.
No, no, I don't think it was all. I think they picked and
some of them were pretty extreme.
But they basically break down...
what you could do
with
the scene
like that. What they were thinking, yeah, for the scene like that. And it looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, some of them were kind of dumb, but some of them were really funny. The human noises one. But then again, we're guys.
Again, yeah, it's the guy thing, I'm telling you.
Farting and burping and all that kind of stuff. Blowing noses. Sneezing.
We can't honestly review the video on this DVD because we got a backup copy of the film, and oh my pixelation.
Yeah, there was a lot of pixelation.
Especially
but when
in the fast action scenes. But yeah, when it was kind of slow moving and stuff like that, it looked fantastic.
It looked really great, especially when the dam actually breaks. That water looked, my eyes popped. It was that good. It was just shy of real, and I think they did that on purpose. But it was
very
spot
well done.
On. Yeah.
The audio on this movie, perfect. I thought it was perfect.
Absolutely. You had enough surround ambience, just to keep you going, knowing that you're in nature. Really came into play in, attack scenes or whatever.
Now let's jump into the extras.
Extras!
Lots of extras. On a single disc.
There is a lot on there. And you know what? I'm anxious to see what they'll come up with for a two disc because they did.
You know what's coming.
You know what's coming. They did it for Ice Age, so they'll do it for this one.
That's right. So there's two commentaries. There's one from the director, Carlos Saldana. Saldana? Is that how you pronounce that?
I have no idea. I'm he probably looks really young.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
I missed out on an opportunity to interview him when the first Ice Age came out on DVD because I couldn't make it to Toronto. Because I don't live in Toronto. I know, so sad. All these... I wish I was closer to Toronto. We'll put it that way. And the second commentary is from the crew with 912 people, and it takes them 4 minutes to introduce themselves.
Seriously.
There's a lot of people, probably not 912. But
there's like 50 seconds of people just going, hi, I'm blah, 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 and this was my job. Hi, I'm blah, 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 and this was my job. Yeah. 50 seconds. It's like 15 people.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Those are the only two things that both Jeff and I never got a chance to go through.
We didn't get to go through it, but I'm going to actually hopefully sit down and look at that one with 15 different people because I am curious to see how that worked out.
Me too.
Are they all in the same room? Because if they're all in the same room, that is going to be one messy track.
You know, it's unfortunate because we got this really last minute, and for both of us to get through everything is just impossible.
In less than 24 hours, considering we both have full-time jobs.
Yeah, and we both had to watch the movies and go through the extras.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, the commentary got left out, but there is some very neat stuff on this DVD.
Actually, cool stuff, technically, yes. if you want to quote right from the menu.
Yes, that's what the extra features are called on this. Cool stuff.
Appropriate to the theme.
But look at all the ice! there's two features that seem to be prevalent on pretty much every Fox movie coming out right now, and that is the first glimpse of the Simpsons movie, which I'm sure a lot of people have already seen.
Yeah, and is it really a first glimpse? I don't know.
No, they should probably call this the 11th glimpse. And there's an inside look, which goes to Night at the Museum, which I think is going to be a pretty interesting film.
It'll be interesting. I'd probably put it up there with Little Man in my preconception of it, but we'll see what happens.
And then once we get into the cool stuff, other than the commentaries, we have Scrat in the background, stuck in an ice cube, trying to get at a nut.
And he has, and the great little moment where he goes, "Oh,
yeah." There's a whole scene on the Crash and Eddie stunts, and those are the twin possums. They're twins. Yeah,
yeah, the twin possums, and it shows a couple of little hardcore things that they would have done. I think it's more. I actually think they were deleted scenes.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
and. There's one that I thought was hilarious, and that's when the one of them convinces Manny to launch him out of a tree. And he ties his tail to the top of the tree. I was sitting down.
A little farther. Manny has the tree, the tip of the tree right down to the ground.
Yeah. And the other one ties his brother's tail to the limb, and then Manny lets go. And you can just imagine what happens from there. There's the director's chair, the animation director's chair. Blah, 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 blah.
Didn't get to look at it. It had to do with watching the movie again. Again, we didn't have enough time, so.
Yeah, four times through the movie. Can't be done.
Not in 24 hours, but anyway.
No, it's not really that, but you get to see that in all the stages from the storyboard to the pre-animation to the animation to the finished product, and you can see it in all four stages once, which I thought was pretty neat to see on a few of the scenes they chose.
Yeah, along the same lines as Slither, right? Where they touch on the different stages of the special effects.
Exactly.
Kind of idea.
Yeah.
Got a running theme here.
Apparently. The lost historical films, trying to be funny, I found, not so.
Not so much. There were a couple of them that were cute.
Cute.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, it's a kids' movie.
Yeah.
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 The kids will like
kids.
Them all.
Yeah. I was expecting a little more humor. I don't think
Sid
I
the Sloth was good.
I just
enjoyed the Sloth.
I didn't find it all that funny. It's the outtake break, I'm sorry, that has the...
One possum ties the other possum's tail to the tip of the tree when,
That's the one. That one was great.
Way to go. Way to drop the ball, Shane.
Yeah, my bad, folks. I didn't really have time to digest everything. I was pounding through it so fast.
You know what? I'm over it, so they should be. So.
Yeah. there's a lot of stuff with Sid the Sloth and John Leguizamo.
Yeah, that's the whole, they're talking about the creation and nature of the character.
One thing that I actually... enjoyed was the guy drawing, showing how he came up with the concept for Sid the Sloth. So many simple shapes to put it all together. Yeah. A bowling pin makes up 90% of them, and a football makes up, you know,
the other 10%.
The other 7%, and then a pair of ping pong balls and a couple of triangles make up the rest. So simple.
A very simple concept for a very rich and deep character.
He's the Fire King. Which is one of the other features on here where they show you the fire dance, basically.
That is probably the funniest scene for me in the movie is when he comes across all those mini sloths.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And they start doing this whole musical thing, copying sounds he's making.
It's hilarious.
Brilliant. Yes. Absolutely brilliant.
Whoever came up with that, we'd have a bigger crowd, but there's only two of us. The Ice Age arcade, I didn't get through.
Didn't get to it either.
Marketing the Meltdown has a whole bunch of clips from when Sid the Sloth was basically telling you what show was coming on next. And the first one was actually pretty funny. The first one, he's like, Ice Age is opening this weekend, but that's not why we're here. And then he puts his hand on his ear and he's like, wait, I'm being told that's why we are here. Well, wouldn't it be better for us just to lie and make it seem like coincidence? It was really funny. It was well done.
Sid the Sloth is by far my favorite character in this movie, so.
I like the possums and Sid. They're probably tied, because I think the possums added a whole new dynamic to the comedy. And Sean William Scott voiced one of them, and they only showed them briefly in the extras, and I couldn't make out the features of who the other person that did the other possum was. And I'll have to look it up later. But seeing as I finished going through this and you came over and we sat down to record this little tidbit, I didn't have time. So we'll touch base maybe in the next show, or we'll put up a little post somewhere in the iCrave DVD forums letting you know who that is. But this is definitely one that I would run out by, add to my collection in a heartbeat.
Yeah, as far as the bridge between adult and kid comedy, you can't get any better.
Especially being a fan of animation for myself. This is fantastic.
I can't say anything more. I'm just going to start repeating myself.
So let's run down the list again. Jeff, Little Man.
Rent it if you're desperate.
All right. Agreed.
More so for the extra features.
MI3.
Buy it or stocking it. You need it.
Yes. A definite must have in the collection. Slither.
Not if you're squeamish, but it is Halloween, so step up to the plate.
It's a you need in your collection.
Yeah, for any horror fan is going to want it because it is the homage to the 80s.
Even not every horror fan. Buy it. Even if you never watch it, you should say you own it. And if you're in the US, that's from Universal. And in Canada, from Sony Pictures. And last but not least, from Fox Home Entertainment, Ice Age.
Yeah, gotta have it.
Gotta have it. I know we just talked about it, but we need to say it again because we're doing a recap. So that pretty much wraps up the show, Jeff.
That's it. It's time to say goodbye, Shane.
I am going to bed. Peace out.
Take care, guys. We'll see you next time.
And we're clear.
All right.
Excellent.
Woo!